The unemployment rate in the United States has hit an 18-year low. The Labor Department said today the jobless rate ticked down to 3.8%, which means a nearly 9-year economic expansion is still on.
But there are questions today around the world about the future of the global economy after the Trump administration slapped tariffs on steel and aluminum from allies, Europe, Mexico, and Canada, all of which promised to retaliate with tariffs of their own, some specifically targeting parts of the U.S. that supported President Trump. In a statement today, French President Emmanuel Macron said he told Trump in a phone call that the U.S. tariffs were a mistake and that economic nationalism could lead to war, as it did in the 1930s. Let's convene our Friday Politics Roundtable. This week we have Juana Summers, senior writer at CNN Politics. Hi, Juana.
Hey, guys.
And Brian Bennett, senior White House correspondent for Time Magazine. Hi, Brian.
Hi, good to be with you.
And let's start with some of the numbers. We'll talk more about the jobs numbers, but the Dow fell yesterday after President Trump imposed these tariffs on steel and aluminum on the U.S.'s three biggest trading partners, Canada, Mexico, the European Union. And they have said they're going to retaliate with pork tariffs, Harley-Davidson, Kentucky whiskey, things that come from areas that supported the president. Even people like his fellow Republican Paul Ryan, whose state, Wisconsin, is being targeted with those tariffs, are not happy. Why did he do this? Brian, you take it.
All right. So I really, our president is transactional. I mean, he doesn't want tariffs for tariffs' sake. He wants tariffs for negotiating leverage. He's trying to get some concessions out of Mexico and Canada and the NAFTA deal, for example. And so he's slapped these tariffs on. He wants more negotiating leverage with China, for example, as well. And you know, he's making that play, and we'll have to see what kind of, he's also gambling that the economy right now is strong enough and that this impacts a small enough percentage of the economy that it won't have too big a drag.
Juana, it was remarkable to hear the French president bring up this idea that economic nationalism could lead to war. I mean, even just to use a word like that is worth noting. But, you know, what about that damage to our relationships with key allies around the world? Is that a real concern?
Absolutely. We heard a strong response from those allies. And keeping this in context, you know, this move follows months of uncertainty. The Trump administration has been dangling potential exemptions for allies in front of them in returns for different concessions. But with moving forward on these tariffs, at least in my view, the administration now faces a really big test of whether or not this aggressive strategy will actually work and they'll be able to get promises from its trading partners, or whether or not this could actually backfire on the United States economy. And that's really the signals we're seeing from allies right now. They are not saying they're not pleased, I think, would be an understatement.
Well, but to staying with the economy, does the president get cover with the jobs numbers?
Well, certainly his economic advisors are telling him that you do have some play inside the economy right now to you can take some pain. Wilbur Ross was quoted recently saying that, you know, even if there is retaliation on some of these tariffs, that it could only impact the GDP numbers by as much as 1%. And it sounds like that's a gamble that they're willing to take. And I think they're probably bolstered by the strong jobs numbers and the strong economy at the moment.
I think it is going to be very interesting to see how this complicates talks over NAFTA. These negotiations, they appeared to be very close to being wrapped up. And then Mike Pence, vice president, demands the sunset clause to renegotiate NAFTA after 5 years. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says absolutely no way is that going to work out for Canada. So what about NAFTA, Brian?
Well, so Trump wants more concessions out of Canada. He wants better terms for agricultural businesses in the United States when it comes to trading with Canada. And it was actually interesting to hear Prime Minister Trudeau talk about how close he felt that they were to a deal, and now Trump and sent Pence to pull back a little bit and say we want a 5-year sunset on any NAFTA deal. So it is something that Trump has wanted for a long time. He blames like cheap imports from Mexico for reduction in manufacturing output from the United States, and he's trying to gain leverage by slapping tariffs on them.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to some of the other news of the week because there was, as usual, so much. And on Fox and Friends this morning, conservative commentator Dinesh D'Souza described a phone call that he received from President Trump, who pardoned him yesterday. Dinesh D'Souza had pled guilty to making improper campaign donations, but here's what he said about the call he got.
He said that, I got to tell you, man to man, you've been screwed. He goes, I've been looking at the case. I knew from the beginning that it was fishy. But he said upon reviewing it, he felt a great injustice had been done. And he said he just wanted me to be out there to be a bigger voice than ever defending the principles that I believe in.
Look, Dinesh D'Souza, as we said, he pled guilty to funneling some campaign funds to a candidate. He's also a well-known conspiracy theorist. He has tweeted despicable things in the past about President Obama, for instance, and his Kenyan father. What's behind this particular pardon?
I think what's really interesting, Robin, is the pattern of pardons that we're seeing here. Think about the language that Dinesh D'Souza spoke about that the president used. You know, he's saying, you know, Dinesh D'Souza has been treated very unfairly. He said that about a host of people here. And I think that's got a lot of people thinking, you know, is this about pardoning these specific individuals that the president has either pardoned or mused about pardoning? Or is this about sending a broader signal to the people that are wrapped up in the Russia probe that are close to him? That's something that former Attorney General Eric Holder said today that he believes is the back story behind this. I think the language is possibly here, though, more telling than the actual actions and the people he selected.
Well, and again, just to, because I, you know, he said he has tweeted despicable things. Just to give an example, after the massacre at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, 17 died, including so many students. He tweeted out, "Worst news since their parents told them to get summer jobs." That's one of the few tweets that he apologized for. But, you know, is this about him or is it about, you know, sending the signal that maybe other Trump people that Trump supports down the road, names that we can think of who are being investigated right now, Michael Cohen comes to mind, will be pardoned?
I definitely think the audience for this was Michael Cohen, was Paul Manafort, potentially Flynn, President Trump's former national security advisor who's under investigation. And to say, hey guys, you know, I do have this pardon power and keep the face.
And that's exactly what the right says. Like, remember, the president has the right to pardon whomever he wants to, Juana.
And past presidents have.
And that's exactly right. And I would not disagree with that assertion. But I do think that given the optics of all of this and given the way that the president's talking about this, he's saying this is someone in Dinesh D'Souza's example, for example, who has pled guilty to breaking the law. And the president has said that there's a legal system out there that did not treat him fairly. And as such, he should be pardoned. And I think that as we see kind of this legal quagmire around what's going to happen and this uncertainty with the Russia investigation, he's sending a signal that when the law treats people unfairly, he will bring them out of that. He will pardon them. And I think it'll be very interesting to see just how far he chooses to use that power of the presidency, whether it's to Martha Stewart or someone like Michael Cohen, for example.
Okay, let's talk about North Korea because there was a development today in the potential summit. A top lieutenant of Kim Jong-un's hand-delivering a letter to the White House, and it appears as though both sides are now trying to get this meeting off the ground later this month. Here's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday.
The proposed summit offers a historic opening for President Trump and Chairman Kim to boldly lead the United States and the DPRK into a new era of peace, prosperity, and security. Our two countries face a pivotal moment in our relationship in which it could be nothing short of tragic to let this opportunity go to waste.
Brian, where are we on this and the prospects of this summit happening and the chances for its success?
Well, I mean, it was just 2 weeks ago that the North Koreans stood up a White House delegation in Singapore who had gone there to talk about setting up the talks. And there had been radio silence between North Koreans from the North Koreans whenever the White House reached out to them. And now Trump is, by threatening to pull out of the – by canceling the summit, has gotten the North Koreans' attention. And it seems like they are, you know, negotiating what the terms will be. Pompeo feels like the North Koreans are negotiating in good faith at the moment. And every engine that needs to be turning in the White House for the summit to happen is currently turning. We'll have to see what happens over the next several days.
Look, we only have a minute and a half left, but I want to take this one. It's been quite a vulgar week. And this morning, President Trump weighed in on TBS comedy host Samantha Bee, who has apologized but hasn't been fired for calling his daughter a vulgar, misogynistic term. Trump tweeted out, "Why aren't they firing no talent Samantha Bee for the horrible language used on her low rating show? A total double standard." Earlier this week, though, Trump didn't condemn fired TV star Roseanne Barr for her racist language, but she was fired. In the, you know, minute that we have, Is there a double standard here? It's just so odd that both these things happened in 1 week, Juana.
It has indeed been quite a vulgar week. And I want to just point out that TBS, which is owned by CNN's parent company, has also come out with an apology here. The thing I want to point out, though, is I think because these things happened in such close proximity to one another, there's been a tendency in these discussions to equivocate the two. And I think that what Samantha Bee said was inappropriate and hateful. But what Roseanne Barr said about Valerie Jarrett, a former advisor to President Obama, was racist and fell back on old racist tropes dehumanizing an African-American woman. And I think that we have to be really careful not to equivocate the true, because the language, quite frankly, was just not the same. The remarks are not equal.
Yeah. Any way you look at it, it's gotten pretty coarse around here. Juana Summers, senior writer at CNN Politics. Brian Bennett, senior White House correspondent for Time magazine. Thank you both.
Good to be with you.